You're listening to the Nitty Gritty Podcast with Jen Gall and Shona Hutchings, where they discuss the nitty gritty of creative entrepreneurship.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Nitty Gritty Podcast. We are here today to talk about feedback.
Feedback. I think I requested this one because I get so much anxiety when I want to hear feedback from people and I don't get it.
You know, whether it's a constructive criticism or anything positive, it's just kind of nice to know whether someone has whether what you've done is really what they're looking for or what they actually want.
Well, that, and after you spend so much time working on something, you would just want to hear hey, we got it, thanks, we love it, or hey, we got it, it's not really what we were looking for. Because when you pour your heart and soul into something when it's your own business and then you don't hear anything back, I find this happens sometimes with photography, that people are just they just get it and they're okay, received, and you're I don't know if I did what you wanted. So yeah, I get a lot of anxiety when I don't hear back from clients in terms of the work that I've done for them.
I think I would even want to know if, even if you sent something to someone and it was, like you said, poured your heart and soul into it and it wasn't what they wanted and they don't tell you, there's no way that you can fix it or offer anything more to them without knowing. And I think that goes even for when I work with interns or staff, that open communication has to be there.
And I feel like a lot of people are far more opinionated about things they don't
than things they
do. So if you piss them off and they're going to go tell their friends we really didn't like working with so-and-so, but they're not going to, if they don't tell you, then you have no way to improve.
Yeah.
Or to make sure that, yeah. So I totally get that. Yeah.
This is already clearly feedback is, I feel like feedback is so, is controversial the right word, or not controversial, but it can be such a love-hate thing. Some people cannot take feedback.
Yeah.
For the life of them. I know I've experienced that with some of, I've had coaching or training sessions with individuals before, and when you give them feedback, even when it's completely constructive and you're just trying to help them move on to the next step or the next process in their business, and you give them feedback and they just shut down.
Oh yeah, they feel like they're being attacked.
Yes, yeah. And I think we need to reevaluate how we view feedback. Mm-hmm. And even if it is, and I don't think negative is the right word, constructive criticism is really good, but even if it's something that isn't, oh my gosh, you are amazing and you
everything
poop
you
out
do,
gold.
Yeah. Way to be a unicorn riding a rainbow.
Yeah, I would rather hear something that they didn't like over something that they did like, as much as I appreciate those comments. Mm-hmm. I would rather know how I can improve. And that's how I approach even with my the staff and even my clients, where it's okay, this is the harsh truth, and sometimes you just need to hear it, especially if it's someone who's trying to grow a business. When we do training sessions and somehow it turns into an entrepreneurial business session where I'm trying to help them grow their business for marketing or branding purposes, and they just need to hear the harsh truth, this is how it is. Mm-hmm. It's not anything to say against you as a person or your business, but here is just the facts. And it's not a criticism against you personally. It's just me to clear the shit up and get it done properly.
Do you think we're kind of unique beings? Because you and I both have a visual arts degree. And we're just used to people being nope, I'm not convinced. Your artwork is shit. Start over.
Okay, so to give you guys a bit of a background, what we're talking about. So Shona and I, as you would have heard in our first episode, we have a visual arts background. So basically what that means is that at least once a month, we would pour our heart and soul.
Literally. And it could be very emotional work.
Yes.
Even.
Yeah. And hours. We would stay up all night in the studio making art pieces.
Sorry, I'm just making all the background noise.
But we would stay up all night making these art pieces, and then you would set them up as you would in a museum, And you would literally stand there as people in your class, including your professor and like a TA, would just either like hate on it or give their total honest opinion. And it would just, they're critiquing you.
And you just stand there and say nothing for the most part. Like I had, when I was in my practicum class, it was just like, which is like my fourth year independent theory, like studio course. You had to put your artwork up, and then if you had a title for the work, you either had to have it posted or you had to like say the title for the work, and then you could say nothing.
So yeah.
Sometimes it got into these like really heated debates between my two professors, just like talking about people's work, where the rest of the class would just like stand there staring at each other like, is it good? Is it not good? Like, we can't figure it out. But I think maybe we're a little unique, you and I, because we are so used to getting feedback. And I just feel that maybe some people have not had that background, and therefore hearing criticism, constructive criticism, is hard for them when they haven't had to do that so often.
I know it's so funny, when we were talking about doing this podcast and like writing out kind of our thoughts about it, I never even thought about that. Mm-hmm. That never like, That red flag never went off. It was like, Jen, you just spent 4 years.
Yeah, you spent 4 years with people telling you constructive criticism. Yeah.
Whether you wanted to hear it or not. Like you said, we literally had to stand there, mouth shut, while people said things about your life projects. But
okay, so we already kind of talked about why we use feedback. So like to help grow your business, to understand. So just... like, I wrote the question, why do you collect feedback and testimonials? So for me, it's because it gives me anxiety if I don't know how if people like my work or how they feel. And then you talked about how, like, you'd rather hear some negative feedback just so that you can understand how to grow. Yeah. Okay, so how to collect feedback.
So something that we have started to do is actually, so like when we do a branding project or a design project, when we hand over the final project or final pieces, files, whatever, to the client, right in my email is a link to a questionnaire that has like, I think it's 7 questions. It's very, very short, but it also has a link to my Facebook page so that they can immediately put what they now have as like recommendation. So it's no longer a review on Facebook, it's now like a recommendation where they just give you I think it's just like a yes or no,
like would they recommend
yes or no. It's no longer like a star rating. It's basically like, do you recommend or do you not recommend? And like, we just launched that, so I've only sent it out to one person. But even having that has been, like, I've even, like, reading her comments was really great. And to be fair, she was, like, in love with her branding. So I wasn't expecting anything, like, too intense. But even just having that, and, like, from a business perspective, giving them the most simple and, like, straightforward, they don't have to figure out where to go, they don't have to search for it. Here's a link to my Facebook page. I want you to, you know, just leave a short little review and that's it. And it's just so easy.
Mm-hmm. So I wrote down a little list here on how to collect feedback, because we know it's important for growing our businesses, but sometimes it's like nerve-wracking to like ask people to tell you what they think, especially if they don't just offer it right away. So what I said is, when you're dealing with a client, carefully pay attention to their words. So they might write emails to you, or they might say something to you in person if you meet with them. So pay attention to what they're saying to you and just start writing it down. And then you'll kind of have like a collection of testimonials or reviews.
Oh, that's cool.
That you can use. Because I haven't really been doing that either, but I've kind of wanted to start doing that, especially in my business of photography, because it's like all referral. So it's a way for me to use as like, well, we'll talk about how to use it, but a way for me to use it as marketing, basically, to just promote myself without sounding super cocky, because it's not my words, it's someone else's.
So do you just like, let's say, for example, you were in like a meeting with them and they like have like,
well, with photography it's a little bit different. So I was thinking specifically how people at the end of a night of a wedding used to say like, oh, that was so amazing, thank you so much, we loved it, you were so easy to work with, whatever. But I do get similar type comments when I'm working with people, like, you're the best, you're so easy to work with, you're so easygoing, I love that you're really like honest with us and you tell us kind of how to move. So it's like those kind of things that I really need to start paying attention to, the words people are specifically using to describe how I'm working, and just like keep that in my head. And then once I get it back into my car, like write it down so I don't forget it, because those are the types of things I can use not only like as feedback for myself, because if they say something they don't like,
yeah,
I'm going to remember it. But when they say something that they do like, I don't necessarily like use it. So yeah, it's just a way, like I could even use it as like Instagram posts for days that I don't have stuff to put out there, right?
Yeah.
So like it could be anonymous, but it's still words that have been used to describe mm-hmm. my business. So yeah, just paying attention to the words your clients use and using them as feedback.
Yeah, I think on that note too, it's important to just mention that if you do get a negative comment or negative feedback, whether it's constructive or not, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take it, reflect on it, acknowledge it, and then move on, because it's very easy to get stuck on people's words.
Yeah.
Very, very easy to think that what you're doing in a whole is not good, but sometimes you just don't click with everybody, and that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. The next one is just like ask for feedback, which is probably harder to do.
But ask.
Yeah, ask. And like an easy way of doing this would be like a Google form. So, or I probably easier is just Instagram with the like stickers out there being like, what do you like? What do you want to see more of? Which people are doing all mm-hmm. over the place on Instagram stories right now, because like 2019 people are kind of switching over. But yeah, you can also do it like if you, I would say maybe not immediately after working with the client, but give them like a week to process mm-hmm. the time that you worked with them, and then send out like a boomerang type email to say like, hey, loved working with you, just wanted to know your thoughts. And you can just create like a Google form that you can send to everybody and just send that out and just get some feedback that way.
Oh, I like the boomerang idea. Yeah. By the way, I don't know. I don't think we mentioned boomerang in our...
Dang, tools. Yeah. No, we didn't mention
so boomerang. So if you haven't listened to our episode 7 was all about tools that we use in our business. And we didn't mention the boomerang app. Or extension. It's a Google extension.
Yeah, Google Chrome extension.
Basically, what it lets you do is I use it specifically because when I am answering emails at like 9 p.m., 10 p.m. at night, Boomerang lets you select a time for like the next day or like the next morning, and it will save it and then send it out at, let's say, 9 a.m. instead of 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that like, you know.
It goes back to like our, so not only our tools episode, but our like client and business etiquette mm. episode, when we were talking about how like we don't want to answer messages at like 9 o'clock at night or 11 p.m., but we still do, but we don't want you to know that.
Exactly.
So we use this app as a way to like schedule it at a time during our like business hours.
Business hours, yeah. Yeah.
But you can also do it so that if you don't get a reply or whatnot from someone and you're waiting to hear, you can actually like, it's boomerang because it's like you send them an initial email, and then if you don't hear back, it like comes back to you. Hey, they haven't emailed you back. You want to send them an email? And then you like say yes. Yeah. And then you draft another email. Or
it's been 5 days since this email was sent.
Yeah.
And would you like to, I don't know, follow up? I can't remember exactly what it says.
Yeah.
But
yeah, boomerang. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And it's free up to 10 emails a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't use it that often because I don't answer that many emails, but yeah. Do you want me to talk about this one? Okay, so another way to get feedback is leading answers. And this is, I don't know if this is like a teaching technique that I've learned, but it's a way to ask questions to get kind of the answer that you're hoping for. And it's not to manipulate people mm-hmm. really in that way. It's just the way that you word your questions will format an answer that you're looking for. So basically, the ones that I wrote down that you could ask your clients are things like, what led you to hiring me?
Mm-hmm.
So like, obviously they're going to say something that, like when they looked you up and decided to hire you, there was something they were looking for. So we decided to hire something simple because we wanted someone who was reliable, that could schedule our social media posts, give us some ideas of branding, and help us with our website. So those are the things they were looking for. And then you can then internalize that into feedback and create some sort of testimonial out of it. Another one I wrote down would be like, what reservations did you have before hiring me, and how did we help you overcome those? Hmm. So it's like obviously some people have trouble hiring photographers and spending money on photos. Yeah. So it's like, why were you potentially thinking of not doing it? And like, maybe it's like, oh, I feel really uncomfortable in front of the camera and I was really nervous about doing that. Or, oh, the price point was a little high, but I knew your worth and blah, blah, blah. So it's a way to just ask a question to kind of get feedback without being like, hey, can you give me some feedback? And just leaving it really wide open, because some people will be like, it was so great to work with you. Thanks.
Right. And that's
which
not really.
Which doesn't really help you.
No.
No. So you need like specifics. So it's kind of a way to help get that. Yeah.
Look at you. But I think that is like...
totally a teaching thing.
Like, that's totally a teaching thing. Because I was like, I know you, like, you talk about like open-ended questions and like, and I know leading questions. Those are really good though.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Yeah. So those are some, I mean, there's probably other ways to get feedback as well, but those are just some of the ones that I could
think of. I do think the Instagram stories was like a really good idea.
Yeah. With the stickers.
Yeah. I know that we've talked about it previously with like market research. And using them as a way to like figure out what your audience likes, but it's also a way to do feedback too, which I mean is essentially the same thing. But very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Okay. The next topic is where to post your feedback.
I mean, there's like the obvious ones. So social media. You can like put them on your feed. Maybe you're creating a graphic and you're using them on your feed. I was just talking to someone yesterday actually about using it as a way to introduce like a service. So maybe, for example, it was like a dog training service and they had just finished, they just graduated one of the dogs and they had testimonial. So then they were like, maybe they posted a photo of the dog and it was kind of like, oh, Hudson just graduated from XYZ training. Here's what her owner had to say, or his, Hudson's my dog's boy. Here's what his owner had to say. And if this is something you're interested in doing, this is what we offer. And it's just like, it's just another way to kind of lead into the services you have to offer, but also show why it's a beneficial service for your audience.
So yeah, social media. I also talked about like, if you guys plan your social media feeds, it's a way, like, if you have a day where you're like, oh, I don't really know what to put there, putting, like, a nice colored background that matches your branding with, like, a testimonial from a client could be one of those, like, filler type days if you don't know what else to put there photo-wise.
You see it a lot, like, in story highlights. Like, there's usually, like, a highlight that's just for reviews. Actually, you see that a lot on photographers, where they have, like, one specifically for reviews.
Well, it's so important for photographers because, like, we work off referrals.
Yeah.
So it's so dumb that I haven't been doing it because I know it's important, but... So I'm going to hopefully start.
Girl, you're busy.
I'm going to hopefully start putting it up there. But yeah, it is pretty important. So the other one that I wrote here is on your website. You can have like a section about like what people are saying about us.
Yeah.
The only thing is that you have to remember is that your clients are going to take that with a grain of salt because it's like you're choosing what to post on there. It's not like an Amazon review page where like people can give you a one star and it'll still show up on your website.
Yeah. Or like on Facebook where they actually like, it's clearly them. Like they're the only ones who can actually do it. I've done that before too, where like my workshop page for my blogging, the blogging workshop, I have like 3 testimonials that are on there, but they are directly from Facebook. So it has like the name. I basically just copied and pasted exactly what they said on Facebook. So it correlates to be the same thing, but it's it doesn't say from Facebook or via Facebook. It just has the person's name, but
right, yeah,
you can see it somewhere else.
Do you want to talk about this one?
Google,
yeah.
Where you can post your feedback. Well, people can leave you Google reviews.
Yeah.
And you can have access to them and look at them. I actually think a lot of people, I think it depends on your business. I know people in the food, like food, hotels, all those ones are like huge for reviews and you could get smashed hard if you get
that. Heck yeah,
one.
That's because the new generation doesn't do anything without looking up a review.
Without looking at reviews, I don't know if you have anything more to add about that one.
I think that technically having reviews on your Google, especially if you have a Google Plus page, can help with your like analytics and your because when you have more reviews, your popularity goes up in terms of like your Google Analytics.
Right.
So whether like you can just I think when I hired my wedding photographer, she asked me to leave a review on her Google page. So like, she just said like, would you mind leaving a review? And then I did. And then that puts you like, when people are searching, if you haven't mastered like SEO, having reviews is like another way to like up your SEO game so that you will come up on the first page of Google, for example, because more people have interacted with your like Google Plus page.
Oh, Google.
Yeah.
How we love you.
Yeah. Okay. Talk about newsletters because you use them.
Yeah. Newsletters. So like having your feedback or having feedback people have given you in your newsletters as a sales funnel. So for example, if you are selling a new product or you have a new course or you're selling a service or you're launching a workshop, whatever it is that you're trying to get people to invest in. It could also be like you're investing in yourself, like as a photographer. Sending out an email to your newsletter list with reviews in the newsletter is also very, very beneficial because you're sending it out, one, to your key target audience because they're on your newsletter list. So they're saying, I want more information from you. So that when you do offer, maybe it's a new mini session or maybe the seasonal, like their seasonal changes are happening and you're launching like a new seasonal product. If you're a product-based company or maybe you do actually have a new service or a new course, you can launch that through your newsletter and then say, hey, these are what these people have said about me, maybe as a photographer. Or what's great too is when you have, like if you are launching a course or a service or something and you've tested it previously with one other person or a couple other people and you received feedback from them, it's kind of like a really good way to prove that what you're offering is worth the amount of money you're asking. Mm-hmm. And newsletters are just awesome. So everyone should have one.
Yeah. And the last one where to post your feedback would be if you do any print marketing. Yeah. So any like,
if it's like a short one,
deliverables or whatever that you have.
Yeah. You don't want like a gigantic.
No, you're not like paragraph. Here, read my essays and listen to how cool I am.
No, I wouldn't recommend doing that. But if it's like how you were talking about, oh, you're so like easy to work with and you know, you give really great, like constructive ways to put or to
post.
Thank you. Post.
I don't give that many constructive ways to post only because, or post. No, listen to me. Oh my God. Thanks, Jen. To post only because I like personally, I do more like realistic type photos, like people interacting in their space, not like stand like this and look at me, tilt your, do you remember those school photos where they were like, okay, just turn your shoulders, tilt your head, and it was like 30 minutes of you like trying to just get in the right position before they took your photo. Anyways,
I also feel like sometimes when you're like over posing them, it's so obvious.
100%. Okay. How to use feedback to better your business.
Oh, I loved when you typed in this.
I think this is also a teaching thing.
It is totally. I remember I did this in my continuing studies program.
Did you? Like for the professor?
For the professors.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'm just like teaching all over this podcast. Okay, so something that I like to use is like a start, stop, continue. So if you get feedback from people, you're going to better understand what you should start doing. So maybe there's something that they told you that you weren't doing that maybe you should consider putting in place. Something that you should stop doing. So if you really piss someone off with something, definitely consider that you should maybe stop doing that thing. Or if they really liked what you were doing, things that you should continue. Mm-hmm. So things that were working, like processes that are working that you should continue doing. So getting feedback will help you determine your start, your stop, and your continue. Yeah.
Another great way for it to better your business is it will highlight consistencies that whether it is like something you just start, stop, or continue. I think that's one of the reasons why I love using Google Forms for this specifically, because let's say you are asking them to choose between like a couple of options. It basically will give you like graphs and tables, and you can put it in an Excel sheet and kind of look at the consistency of things. So maybe if you had like 6 or 7 like feedback, like 6 or 7 people had filled out your feedback form, then you could look at like what's consistent, whether it is something that you need to stop. Hopefully you have stopped if you have seven people telling you to stop. But what's great is that it will tell you what to continue doing and maybe even what to start doing. But it just highlights
consistencies within your business. And maybe there's like certain things that you're doing that you should be spending more time on. Because like if people are giving you consistent feedback that they really like one thing that you're doing, then that's where you should be investing your time and maybe some more money in your business as well.
Oh, hot damn, girl. Yeah. That's good advice.
Okay. Thank you. Do you want to talk about that since you put that in there?
This is something we also talked about recently in our 2019 podcast, kind of like starting up the new year, was being able to reflect on your wins, big or small. So when you do get feedback from people and they're telling you what to continue doing, because they really liked it, kind of what you just said, right? Like, you're like, you know, for something that you're continuing to do and people are, you know, consistently telling you this is what they like doing, reflect on that and be excited about it and be proud and celebrate it. You know what, no matter if it's a big or a small thing, maybe they just like how you communicate or they like how quick you are with responding to emails. Like, those might not seem like big things, but in like the overall picture really is a big thing because you're creating an experience for your client. So reflect on that and say, hells yeah, I did that, and then continue doing it. In all honesty, like, I truly believe it's very hard to create something that's new.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very difficult, and I applaud you if you do it. But what's important to remember is that you can do something, but like, how do you do it better than mm-hmm. your competitors, and how do you create an experience for your clients or potential clients
mm-hmm.
That can help make something bigger, so, or better, sorry. So don't be afraid to highlight your wins.
For sure, for sure. Okay, and yeah, last one is just basically it helps you fix mistakes in your processes and systems. And now that Jen has explained that to us graciously, basically your processes are, and systems, just like the steps you take from when you first basically meet with mm-hmm. someone to the last stage of actually delivering them whatever it is that you're doing for them, for your clients. So if you get some feedback, maybe there was some sort of miscommunication or whatnot, you can at least figure out what those mistakes are. But if you don't get any feedback, you can't do that.
It's all about being efficient, people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do you want to talk about, we're gonna give you some updates about next week. So we, on our podcast for next week, will have a guest on, and we're really excited. If you guys saw in Jenny's stories a little while ago, she was asking you any burning money questions you might have. We're going to have a bookkeeper on. So if you guys have any questions prior to next week that you want to send us either by email, or if you want to give us a DM, they'll be anonymous. So if there's something in your business that you're a little bit shy to share, but you still want the answer for, we have an official bookkeeper coming in to talk all things money. So let us know.
Which we're also very excited about.
Yeah. Do you remember when we were like talking about our like fails for the year before? And I was like, oh, I think it's not getting things back to my clients quick enough. And then I was like, nope, money.
No. Nope.
As soon as you said money, I was like, frig.
No. Nope.
But since then, Ryan has made me an amazing spreadsheet.
Yeah, you were saying that.
Yeah. So now every time I like schedule all my clients in it, anytime they like schedule me for a shoot, I can see like what my approximate earnings will be, what my costs will
be. God.
It goes into like a bi-weekly, like it goes over all of my like monthly expenses, yearly expenses, like one-time things, and then it also like shows a breakdown of what I should be paying myself bi-weekly, like after tax and all of those things. It's awesome.
What?
Yeah. It's all there. Insane. So remember, I was like, oh, I need to get this done for 2019. We did it.
Yay.
That's because my husband's like a spreadsheet genius. So that really helps me.
I just got my remittance fee.
No. Today. Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough. We're excited. In other words, we're very much looking forward to having our bookkeeper or a bookkeeper on the podcast next week.
Yeah.
And that being said, this is the end of our podcast for today. So we very much invite you to take a look at our show notes. It has kind of basically highlights everything that we talk about. And we also would like to invite you that if you're interested in taking part, being a guest on the podcast, or you just kind of want to say, hey, or if you have a question, you have something that you want to know, if it was something that you want us to talk about, we would love to hear it as well.
Mm-hmm. And considering this is a podcast all about feedback, we would love to know what you think. So you can head over to our Apple's iTunes page and leave us a review. And you can also find the link for this in our show notes, as Jen was mentioning just before, our web pages. Or if you search the Nitty Gritty Podcast on iTunes, you would be able to find it there too.
Yes, and we for sure want to know what you think. But we also want to be able to share this podcast with as many creatives as possible, and leaving a review on iTunes is the best way to do that. So
yeah, thank you for listening to episode 8, and we will see you with our bookkeeper next week.
Yeah, have a good day, guys.
Bye. That's all for this week's podcast with Jen Gall and Shona Hutchings. Tune in next week for more Nitty Gritty.